Hey you. Yeah, you. Come on in and welcome to the Love Jesus podcast. My name is Brianna Eats. Along with my husband, Zach Eats, we have started this podcast for one reason and one reason only: to share the love of Jesus with anyone and everyone who will listen. It is the vision of this podcast to be real, relatable, and relevant, and have conversations that will empower you, inspire you, and guide you in the footsteps of Christ. Why would we do this? It's so simple. It's really simple. Because the ultimate love story was signed: Love Jesus. Hey y'all, it's Brianna and Zach here, just doing another Questions of Faith episode. So we have some questions that we're going to go through today and give just our opinions and insights from where we stand in our faith, and we hope that it helps you, blesses you, gives you insight. And so, Zach, can you pick the first one?
First question, can you share a moment when you felt God's presence in a powerful way?
That's a hard one. I feel like we praise and worship and I feel his presence all the time, but I can honestly say I think one life-changing moment that I felt his presence was when we had Noah, and I could just tell that I was just not gonna make it. And I think I heard somebody pray, and I can't really remember who it was at this point. It might have been my mom, but it might have been your mom. But I heard somebody praying, and I was like, oh Lord, if you do not show up, I am going to die. And so I can honestly say I felt his presence in that moment.
That's odd.
It is odd that I remember that, but I do always remember how that felt. Like, it's almost like a draining of life.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll always remember feeling him in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how do you handle challenges and difficulties through your faith?
Prayer. Through the years, I've been through some challenges and difficulties with past things that happened in the past. When we were going to a church and my dad was a pastor in a church, you know what church I'm talking about. And there was a lot of pushback and opposition against him and us. And that's one big challenging difficulty I remember. Because me and you were dating at the time, so that's one of the biggest challenges and difficulties. But I know, of course, we all prayed.
Mm-hmm.
We all prayed to get through it, because it was it's a tough thing to get through, and I'm not gonna say the details or go into it, but it was a prayer.
Can you give me an example of a real and raw prayer for situations such as that one? Because I feel like there's a lot of miscommunication around prayer, and I know we just talked about this recently, but I feel like we were always told to pray so elegantly, and it's not necessary. Like, the real and raw truth is what he wants. And so, anyways, could you give us an example?
So, I think a lot of us, when we pray, a lot of the time we pray for different situations, and we kind of pray for ourselves, this, that, and the other, and that's kind of, I think that's like an elegant way of praying. So, as you say, you can pray elegantly in that way, but I think the difference between that and raw prayer is a lot of times we don't come to God honestly. Like, in that situation, looking back now, I would have, and this is my honest opinion, I would have honestly questioned God, why are you doing this? You know, why? I don't I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to question God with good intentions. I know it's bad. It's not bad, but I don't think it's right to question God for everything. But I think if we pray honestly, say, "Hey, Lord, I hate this situation. I can't stand whatever I'm going through. You know, I can't. I'm tired of it. I want to get out of it."
Yeah.
You know, we don't pray like that. It's just, "Oh, please pray for this situation, touch this and that," and so on and so forth, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I do. I wanted to mention that, too. There was a moment in time a couple weeks ago, and Zach and I are learning a lot of things in a ministry class, but a therapist, actually, she told me, she said, "You have to pray real and raw." And so I went home that night, and then I said, "Lord, I'm bitter. I am growing bitter. There's a lot of anger and hurt towards this person." And it's the weirdest thing how he just took that from me. It's not even that I don't even know that you would call it healing it. Mm-hmm. He might have just healed it, but it just feels like he took that from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not had any problems with it since. In fact, I can be around that person that I felt like hurt me and made me bitter, and I have no problems. It's just like he took it. But that's exactly what that therapist said. She said, if you're real and raw with him, he can help you.
Mm-hmm. And this therapist, it was a certified counselor through our denomination. So it wasn't just some random person. Maybe I should have asked you that question.
Okay.
Because you nailed that one on the head.
Oh, well, thank you. I come up with some dingers every now and then.
All right. Is it my turn or your turn?
It's your turn.
What's your favorite aspect of your church community?
Yeah, so this is, I love this question, first of all. So we go to a small church. It's called Crow Creek Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually studying right now within the Church of God denomination about study and ministry. And so one of my favorite aspects of our church is the love that they have there.
Mm-hmm.
So Zach and I came from I'm going to call it a holiness background. And then we went to
Berry Street,
a wonderful church in Pickens for a long time. And then I went to Redemption, which is a mega church. And I'm just going to be honest with you, Crow Creek has the most loving congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can have the worst week and feel like the biggest failure. And then when I go to church on Sunday, they act like I'm a superstar. Mm-hmm. And they treat everybody like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the congregation or if it's just the atmosphere that they've created there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody that comes in is a rock star, and they're welcome. And I love that because it's so hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for people who just cannot win. Like when you're in a place in life when you just cannot win.
Right.
That atmosphere of love goes so far. And I guess as parents, we know that you just cannot win every battle as a parent. And so you just can't win. But when I go there on Sunday, it just urges me to keep trying.
Because
they love me and they're gonna cheer me on. And so I love that about our church community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my turn now. Let me get us another one ready. Okay, so is there a particular sermon or message that has impacted your life significantly? You can pass.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. I mean, I've heard a lot of great sermons and a lot of great messages that have impacted my life, but I've heard so many of them.
Yeah.
I really can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one.
Pass on that one. So this is a really good question for you. Actually, I wish I had just went straight to this one. So what spiritual disciplines have helped you grow in your relationship with God? You're the best person about spiritual discipline, I feel like, because you, like, every night I feel like, even when I'm like, "Honey, it's time to go to bed. Leaves a light on," and you're like, "Well, I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna read my Bible." And most people just can't do that. So, like, what disciplines do you have that feel like you are beneficial to your relationship with God?
Spiritual disciplines. I think it's important to read your Bible every day. I guess that could be a spiritual discipline. To me, you know, I think the more you get into the Bible and you get more into the Word, I think it comes as more of a enjoyable time to spend with the Lord, rather than having the mentality of, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. I guess that would be a spiritual discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it said one time, you know, people say that they know God and everything like that, but I heard it said a while back that how can you say that you know God if you don't get into His Word? How do you truly know who God is, what His plan is for your life, unless you get into His Word? So I think that's probably my spiritual discipline that helps me. Yeah. That's a tough question for me.
It really is. And I think that your Bible reading is the main thing. I think the only other thing that we could add to that would be your prayer time, which I think you do that when you read your Bible. So I think you'd use that time as like a collective discipline.
Yeah.
But like for me or busy moms, working moms, most of us pray on our commute or worship on our commute. And so that's a dedicated time that we have for prayer, worship, etc.
So let me ask you the same question. The same question you asked me. I want to get your take on it. What spiritual disciplines have helped you grow in your relationship with God?
I think we both know, being married for 15 years, that I have zero disciplines. I'm just a free bird. But I would say that I do every morning, all the way to work. It's 45 minutes. I use that time as my worship time and as my prayer time. But I would also say that I don't have a discipline time. Like, I'm doing good if I can read a chapter of the Bible now, two chapters later. Maybe the kids are gone for a day, I read three chapters.
Well, it's not about how many chapters you read.
But it's the discipline. Like, I have zero of that. Zero. Like, I think of the two of us. You are the discipline.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is a good thing, because we can't both be disciplined. We can't. So, let's see.
Am I asking you the question?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prioritize your relationship with God in the midst of a busy schedule?
I love this one. Again, I actually asked him for this one, for anybody who doesn't realize there's a pause. So the reason I asked him for this one is for the moms that are listening. There's like a role for moms, and then there's a role for dads, and they're completely different. But whenever you're a mom, and most moms now work all day, and then they go home, and then they're wife and mom until bedtime, and then they get their first break at 10 o'clock before their eyes shut at 10:30. So then they get up in the morning at 6 o'clock, and then they start again, and they get their first break at 10 o'clock p.m., and then they go to sleep at 10:30. So for prioritizing your relationship with God, I think you have to figure out how to make a discipline in a busy schedule. Henceforth, going back to that commute, mine's 45 minutes, so that's my 45 minutes of worship and prayer.
Right.
And then I have a friend at work who uses her 30-minute break every day. That is her devotional time, prayer time. Mm-hmm. She dedicates that time to whatever book she's reading or whatever she's studying at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
So, but for moms, it is very hard to find a smidgen of time in a very busy schedule. So how would you respond to that from a working dad point of view?
I think it's similar in some cases. Not in our case particularly, because the way my schedule is, I work 12-hour days and 12-hour nights and stuff like that, so you really get the brunt of most of it. But for me, especially when I'm off, I mean, I have some free time. I can prioritize my relationship with God. I don't do it all day long, but I do throughout the day in different points. Try to make it a time, because like you said, you know, we're going through some ministerial classes, and not only is it a class that we have to do, but also we learn valuable spiritual things. Mm-hmm. So I count that too as a time where I prioritize my relationship with Him.
I would also like to add about the swing shift schedule and the, it's like, because everybody's not, there's no paper carbon copy of how to do it. Mm-hmm. So like, I have to do it in my commute. There are people that have to do it on their lunch break. Then you have you who works the swing shift, and then you have to prioritize it on the days you're off, and then know that you're not going to be able to keep it up the whole time you're working 12s.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a very valuable lesson for people who do work 12s, is that it's okay if you cannot do it, you know, when you're exhausted. But if you do it when you're off, then it'll kind of weigh.
Right.
Checks and balances. The whole universe is checks and balances.
And too, you know, how I work, you know, I mean, there's some times where we're like, kind of slowed down and not too busy, but you know, sometimes when I'm at my job and I'm by myself, I use that time to pray about certain things, and I do try to do a little bit of it at work, but oftentimes I can't, so I have to do it when I'm off.
I am going to ask this next question, but it's also one we can both answer. So, how do you incorporate gratitude into your daily life as a Christian?
So, I would incorporate gratitude in my daily life with prayer. We are blessed. Everybody, whether they know it or not, is blessed. There's so many things to be thankful for. I pray, and then I also give Him thanks for everything He's done. Because you can't count everything that He's done. It's weird, but I thank Him for my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like going into work.
Thank you for thanking Him for your job.
I don't like going to work because it's long and it's hard, and I work in the elements, but I'm thankful that He gives me the opportunity to have a job, to have what we have, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. All hearts and minds clear?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I thought about that question a little bit differently, so I'm going to give you an alternative route to incorporating gratitude into your daily life. So this thing that I've always seen my mom do, actually, and I've noticed now that my kids have started doing it, but is telling somebody that you're thankful for their service. I love to hear that.
Well, I've always done that too.
Even if it's not me saying it, like if you say it or if the kids say it or if my mom says it, lo and behold, like
She can pass somebody in the Ingles grocery store. We do not know them from Jeb Lowe, and they have a veteran hat on, and she'll stop them and say, thank you for your service.
I'm the same way. I did the same thing yesterday at Walmart.
Yeah, so I think that is an act of gratitude. Like, mm-hmm. we are thankful that you put your life on the line mm-hmm. for us. And then I also see the kids do it with first responders, mm-hmm. Firefighters. That's also, that's also being grateful for something that we can't, you know, we don't do. We're mm-hmm. not fighting fire or putting our life on the line to save lives. And so I love that they do that. And that's a daily act of gratitude. Mm-hmm. But something recent that I've started doing in my personal walk, and this would not apply to you, but in the medical field, is telling people thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Because my time is valuable. Mm-hmm. I like to allot, I don't know if you know anybody like this, but I like to allot my time. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to use 30 minutes. This is what they call an OCD person. This is the definition. I'm going to use 30 minutes and I'm going to clean up my desk. I'm going to use 30 minutes and I'm going to clean up my tasks in the computer. And then I'm just a person who likes an orderly, timely schedule. Mm-hmm. So when I'm calling somebody at work and I'm needing their services and they're taking their time to help me, I say, thank you for your time. I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel better that I'm thankful and I've recognized that they've taken some of their time mm-hmm. to help me.
Right.
So I have found that those things have helped me to feel more accomplished if I'm grateful for the people who are helping, mm-hmm. helping me. And so, and that kind of comes back to Chick-fil-A where they're like, oh, it's my pleasure. Really?
Yeah.
But isn't that's really cool. It's my pleasure. Okay. Thank you. And then you don't know what to say. You're just bumfuzzled because they're like, my pleasure. And you're like, what do I even say to that? What else is there to say?
Well, I mean, you don't have to say nothing because once they say my pleasure, that conversation's done.
It does. It means like the end, but I'm also standing there. I'm like, how can I be nice to this person? There's nothing to say after my pleasure. There's nothing. So if you're...
Everybody does it. My pleasure.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. You'll hear it about five times when you're out there.
I love it. It's my favorite place. So if your heart and mind's clear, I'm going to pray us out
today.
That's
a great... I mean, Chick-fil-A. That is great. That is a great thing.
Makes you feel so happy when you get through there.
Oh. I think if our government officials run the government like Chick-fil-A does, I think we'd have been in a better place.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to pray us out if that's okay.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you, Lord, for each listener that's taken their time to listen and hopefully learn and be encouraged by something we've said, Lord. And I just had a couple things that I just want to bring to your attention as we spend this time, two or three together, is a liver transplant of a friend of mine who's been waiting for quite a while. And as we spoke last week about Exodus, Lord, I know that you knew that the Israelites were discouraged by their situation. And I know that you knew that they were crying out to you, Lord. So we're crying out to you for my friend who is needing a liver transplant. And I just pray, Lord, that you would take these prayers and multiply them and work on his behalf. But not only for him, Lord, but I pray that you would touch his caregiver who is having to stand in the gap while he's unwell. And I just pray that you would give her strength and mercy as she continues to steward the life that they have and try to keep it as normal as possible. And Lord, I also pray for a need of a congregant at our church. I just pray, Lord, that you would reach into his body and right the wrongs, because in your word, you said that by your stripes, we're healed. And I just pray, Lord, that you would begin to work miracles in his life, because I've seen you and I've read that you've done miracles, and I just really believe that you still work those same miracles, Lord. And I pray for him that you would give him strength and peace in his mind. And Lord, for our listeners and anyone that has a need or finds themselves discouraged or alone, I just pray that you would bring them strength and company, Lord, because you are always there. I love, Lord, the five-finger attempt that says, you are always with me. You have five fingers. You gave us five fingers. And each finger represents an acronym, You Are Always With Me. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would remind that person that you're with them and that you love them throughout the circumstances that they find themselves in. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.